Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. The WWE wants to take wrestling completely out of its name. What's going on? Come on. Is this real?
So apparently, it is no longer World Wrestling Entertainment. It is simply WWE. They don't want to be known as a wrestling company anymore because they don't do just wrestling, Andy. They do so much more. Like, they have these hit blockbuster movies, like 12 rounds.
And the Chaperone.
And The Chaperone. So they do so much more than just wrestling. I mean, what do you think about this?
This is ridiculous, man. Why? I mean, it's World Wrestling Entertainment. You can't just call something WWE. I mean, I know I have an idea what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it kind of like a Hollywood type deal. But you can't do that because it's, you know, in a way, it's performing arts. I mean, that's at least how I look at it. It's a soap opera that involves people that, well, they can get hurt. But I just don't think that just having WWE is the way to go. I think it's going to be, I think it's just ridiculous.
Well, on top of that, too, it's one of those things where, look, wrestling is your main product. That's where you make most of your money. Yeah, you make some money off of movies, but let's face it, the vast majority of their money is made with wrestling. Vast majority.
Yeah, they don't. They probably lose money every time they put out those DVDs. They have to. But you know what? The thing is, though, if they own, I don't know if do they actually own the production company that puts out the DVDs and stuff?
I don't know if they do.
You know, because if they do that, realistically, it's not that big of a deal for them to put this stuff out. Because, I mean, to make a movie nowadays, you can just get basically a nice digital camera and do it. Realistic. But anyway, so it came out a couple days ago, but there is a leaked list of banned terms that the WWE says from now on you cannot use. And it is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of them I wanted to point out. I don't want to go through all of them, but obviously wrestling is one that is banned. It is not wrestling, okay? WWE, okay? Not wrestling. A couple other ones. Sports is incorrect. Entertainment or action soap opera is allowed, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty funny because obviously we've always said it's kind of like a soap opera.
Right.
They're not wrestlers, by the way. They are not wrestlers. They are WWE superstars mm-hmm. because they do so much more than just wrestling. They entertain you also. So, you know, there's a lot of them in there. Like, there's fight. It's not a fight. It's a bout or it's a match. That's another one that I thought was kind of interesting. So, a few other ones. You can take a look at the list. It's on all the wrestling dirt sheets, you know, so go to whichever one you prefer to. But what do you think about that? I mean, it's almost like they're going overboard with this stuff, don't you think?
Oh, completely, dude. This is way overboard. I mean, it just baffles. When this was released, I just couldn't believe it. I was just shaking my head, and I was like, are you kidding me? That's what they're planning on doing? It's wrestling. I mean, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that they're not professional wrestlers anymore. They're trying to say that they're entertainers, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but why don't you just change this to something else besides WWE then? Why don't you change it, you know, to a World Entertainment soap opera or something like that. I mean, that's what they should do. But
something I wanted to point out here, just, you know, last point I wanted to make is that I think of somebody like a Brad Pitt, Christian Bale. Those people are entertainers, but they're also movie stars. And when I think of John Cena, he is an entertainer, but first and foremost, I think of him as a wrestler.
They just want to change it so it's a WWE superstar. And I think it's more just to get the name WWE out there is what I think. The more you get out there, maybe the more hits they'll get on their website, their search engine optimization will be better. Who knows? So WWE is actually kicking off a new campaign. It's going to be bigger, badder, and better. I thought that's what it was already, but apparently they're going to push this now. Like, yeah. Kmart sponsoring everything for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's not a bad sponsor. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of different, you know, slogans, campaigns over the years. It's not a bad one. I mean, it's, it, You know, I look at it and I'm like, it's kind of silly, but it's not a bad one, in my opinion. I mean, what do you think?
It's okay. I'm not going to sit there and bash it because, you know, like when the Attitude Era came out, Get the F Out was out there. And then they did one after that. I can't remember. And they
Ruthless Aggression.
Thank you. That's what it was. You know, I'm glad they're doing this campaign, but I think that you can only do a campaign for so long, especially with the WWE. You can only do it for so long. You know, great. I'm glad that they're doing stuff different, which is what I like. I'm glad that they're doing that because, like, TNA, they're kind of just the same way. Ring of Honor, I love Ring of Honor, but the problem is it's basically the same stuff. You know, it's a Ring of Honor. But anyway, so TNA is going to make some changes to differentiate themselves from the WWE. They're also talking about changing the ring, which I think is awesome. It should go back to six-sided because that will make it different 100%. I don't know about the name change, though. I mean, they really think about changing the name to something else?
And these are – one of the things that we should point out is that some of the suggestions, they're rumors. I mean, or I shouldn't even say that. They were being kicked around. And one of the suggestions that was thrown out there was, you know, let's go back to six sides. It's going to be very different. You know, what other wrestling organization has six sides of, you know, I mean, six sides of steel. I actually thought that for lockdown was perfect. Six sides of steel. Perfect, perfect, perfect name for it. As far as the name change, though, I actually would be against this. You know, you branded yourself with this name. So you think TNA has a certain imagery in your head. That's why I don't think that would be a good idea to change it unless they absolutely had to.
Well, if it's total nonstop action, in all seriousness, it should be 60 plus minutes a show of wrestling, not 15 or 5. So Kurt Angle, this is really, I wasn't surprised about this, but he announced that he is re-signed with TNA. I figured this was going to happen because he can't handle the WWE schedule. I mean, that's the problem. There's no way he can handle it. And, you know, it's great. He's going to stick with them. I'm glad. Hopefully they bring something different to the table, which I'll be excited about. So,
I'm happy about this, too. I love Kurt Angle as a performer. He's one of the best around. And having him still in TNA really legitimizes them, in my opinion, because you have some really big names, such as Kurt Angle. I think when Kurt Angle went over, while, you know, TNA was great, Kurt Angle made them bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
And badder.
And badder, too. Yes, exactly. So the new talent development director is of none other than Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H. And his first signing was none other than the trampoline guy Sin Cara.
Now, when you heard this, what did you think? First signing was Triple H signed Sin Cara.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the WWE is going to go in a different direction. They're going to go to the gymnastics type. I don't think they're going to stick with the guys who are, you know, heavy, you know, the heavyweights and stuff. I think they're going to go back to where it should be with cruiserweights, having them do some really neat stuff. I mean, Sin Cara, I mean, you know, he did a great job, and it just stinks that, you know, some of the things that happened, but they're going to continue to push him. They're going to push the crap out of him until Vince says, okay, your first signing was bad. That's what I think is going to happen.
But my question is this. Triple H, when I think of him, if I thought about people that he was going to sign, I would think Sheamus. I'd be like, yeah, he probably signed Sheamus. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I would think. I would think Ahmed Johnson, you know, Ezekiel Jackson. You know, I would think those types of people, the big, big, big guys, because that's kind of – you know what Triple H, I would think, would sign.
Matt Morgan.
But he signed – yeah, Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan is a great example. He would, like, try his hardest to get him into WWE. Here's the thing, though. He signed a short – I mean, Sin Cara is, like, 5'9". He weighs, like, maybe 200 pounds. He is a short, small guy, but he is – just insane. Like, the moves that he does is crazy.
Right. But the thing is also, the one thing that Triple H didn't look at is that when you go from Mexican style to the WWE style, you have to sell. Because, you know, America, this sounds bad, but America wants to see selling. They want to think it as real as possible. And I noticed that with Primo, we'll talk about it later, but with him and Primo, there was some, you know, issues with that. Because it's just, he's not used to it. You have to get used to it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, John Morrison has some huge backstage heat, and I don't know. He gave the cold shoulder, you know, the cold shoulder was given to, from, you know, to Trish. I don't know, man. I think that this is a bad thing. I think that he needs to get his head, either his head put on straight or something. But to me, I'm kind of upset about this whole situation.
Well, what upsets you the most? Like what John Morrison has done or what they're doing to John Morrison?
I think what they're doing to John Morrison. I mean, he was just all of a sudden he was on Raw for no reason all of a sudden. It's like, okay, he wasn't talked about. Why are they throwing him in here? Oh, so he can put someone over. He can do something. He should be, with Edge gone, you could almost move him to SmackDown and have him be the next Edge. I think he's that talented enough. He's very agile. He's a guy who likes to move around a lot. And usually with that, if they're constantly moving around like he does, usually you don't see too many bad injuries. And I think that he could come in and take over Edge's spot.
But here's one of the things, though. One of the things that Vince has said about John Morrison is that he does not believe he looks tough. He doesn't believe that, you know, basically he doesn't think that he could kick your butt in the ring. And that's one of the things that he looks for. He wants to look for somebody who would be able to beat you up. And he thinks that John Morrison just looks like a pretty boy, you know? And, he couldn't kick your butt in a fight. What do you think about that?
Well, that's the thing. They don't put him on the mic. That's the problem. He needs to have more mic time. He I don't think he needs to work on it. He just needs more time. And
well,
I think,
he said that he doesn't have good mic skills either, though. That's what he said.
But what he does with the fans, how he interacts with them, a lot of – I mean, he's over. I mean, there's no – I mean, they say sometimes it can take up to 5 years to get over. No, when he came into the WWE, I thought he was already over. He was a great heel, and I think he needs to go back to that tweener role. Just a little bit of a tweener, and you could put him on SmackDown and do that. He could be the next Edge. And I'm serious about that. I think he could be. And I hope that they go in that direction. I mean, because if you're going to have Sin Cara and you're going to have a guy who's going to be acrobatic, John Morrison is just as acrobatic as the next guy. I mean, there's not too many in the WWE, but he can do a lot of stuff that some wrestlers cannot do and will never be able to do.
You know, and I almost think that John Morrison may benefit from turning heel for a year and then turning face. And one of the things I was thinking about, and, you know, it just depends whether or not they want to push him. They wanted to push him, turn him heel, and align him with The Miz, and then have, like, them kind of make up a little bit. Mm. And then you push it so far to the point where Miz is kind of almost making him his lackey again. And then right. John Morrison gets, you know, he gets pissed off. And he turns on Miz. You have him beat Miz, you know, and go over. And that elevates him to the next level. That's one thing that you could do if you wanted to push him. But mm-hmm. there's something else I wanted to mention too, you know, before we get off this topic, which is Vince McMahon apparently does not respect Morrison as a man. And it's because of something that happened with Melina and Batista.
Oh, because they dated for a while.
While Melina was with John Morrison. Melina had a relationship with Batista. And John Morrison, as opposed to basically telling Batista off or, you know, getting in his face, you know, basically confrontation,
mm-hmm.
he said he was professional about it and he didn't want to get involved.
I thought that would be the way to go.
Really? Like, I would be pissed off. If my girlfriend slept with another guy, now I probably wouldn't date her anymore after that, but I would definitely tell the guy off. I'd be like, look, dude, you know, we work together. You know, you don't poop where you eat, plain and simple. You know, you don't. I'd be very upset about that, and I would tell Batista off, and I'd tell Melina off.
All right. I see you know? That, but I don't know. Anyways.
That's just kind of like, you know, my thoughts on it, but that's the news for this week and for last week even too. But let's move on to Raw. The show started off with five men claiming to be the number one contender, which led to a gauntlet match. What did you think about the segment?
WCW? I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, didn't they do that a bunch of WCW? This guy wants a title shot. This guy wants a title shot. This guy wants a title shot. Well, we're going to do something we've never done before this year. We'll do a gauntlet match. Come on. I mean, I saw this coming, but why five? I mean, they could have just done a four-way dance. Why did, you know, Dolph coming out, that's one thing. R-Truth didn't need to come out. There's no reason for him to come out. But I think there's other reasons behind that, but whatever. What'd you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. So let's just move on to Sin Cara and his in-ring debut. What did you think about the match?
There is a trampoline. There's a trampoline. I saw it this time. And then he botched it again. So two out of three isn't bad, right?
He made it once, so no, one out of three is bad.
Oh, I'm sorry, two out of three, he botched it. That's how many times he botched it. But yeah, so he got it at least one of the times. But I do like his entrance. I like the music, and I like Sin Cara. It just sucked that when he went up for the Spanish Fly, they both him and Primo lost their balance, and Sin Cara went to the floor, sold it a little bit, came up, did the same enziguri, and then the Spanish Fly top rope, which I will say is a tough move. And you got to give Primo credit. I mean, at least he got it, and that's a tough move, especially for, you know, can he do that with Triple H, The Undertaker? He won't be able to do it against those guys.
No,
which kind of stinks.
No, not at all.
But I don't like the fact because Sin Cara or Mystico or Miss Sin Cara, he used to do a lot of stuff where it was like an arm bar where basically you try to break your arm. He didn't do any of those moves. He did all basically, Mexican moves, if you want to, or Lucha Libre moves, I should say. So. Mm. But I was glad that he was there, and it was nice to see something different opposed to the same kick punch body slam 1-2-3.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, the match itself reminded me of something that you would see in WCW that got people excited, because one of the things I really heard in that match was you would hear, like, some people were quiet because, you know, you don't know Sin Cara and he's wrestling Primo, which was stupid in my opinion. You don't have your debut match against Primo. That was it. But at the same time, though, he would do a big move, and the crowd would be like, oh, my God. Like, they'd be like, oh, and then mm-hmm. they'd be like, yeah. So that I thought was great. Now, what did you think about the Lawler, JR, Cole Swagger, like, kind of confrontation? You know, I mean, they set a match now for Extreme Rules.
It reminded me of Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan versus DDP and Jay Leno. That's what this is reminding me of. It doesn't need to be done is what it reminds me of. That's it. It does not need to be done. I mean, are you going to have Kevin Eubanks come up, throw the diamond cutter, and, you know, do it real fast? I mean, what's going to happen? You know, that's what I think is going to happen here. And I do like the fact that they're going to put Swagger as a face, but still, to me, he's a heel. He's always going to be a heel in my eyes. And that's, you know, once he went from face to heel, he's just like of the best heel, I think. But what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And also on top of this, too, this was something that they should have ended at WrestleMania, and pushing this to another pay-per-view, this doesn't make me want to buy pay-per-views. Watching Cole versus Lawler doesn't get me to buy the pay-per-view. And on top of it too, JR is not a wrestler.
Nope.
Putting JR in the mix, when Lawler said it's going to be a tag match and JR will be my tag team partner, I was thinking, isn't that a handicap? Really? I mean, and nothing against JR. He's a great commentator. Mm-hmm. But look, he is not a wrestler.
Exactly.
He's not a wrestler. That's stupid. So let's move on to Apple Corps. All right. We had the Corps take on Apple in a mediocre match. Tell me what you think about Apple.
Why Daniel Bryan? Why did he have to come in there? And plus, isn't that trademarked by Apple Company? I mean, are WWE going to get sued because the Apple is their, or the, was it the Corps of their Apple or whatever you want to say? But
yeah.
And it's just stupid. And they're teasing the Corps breakup, which is fine. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Well, what's the point then in having Corps come together? What's the point in that? If you're going to have them come together for a little bit just to break them up, you know?
Yeah, I think they're going to think, they're trying to like think long term because they don't have like those groups like, you know, TNA has a group. Ring of Honor kind of has a group. I mean, there's always groups out there. And realistically, the WWE doesn't have any groups. I mean, so you need a couple, I think, not groups, but stables. So, so the one thing also that we didn't talk about, or that I want to talk about, Orton came back and the Nexus came up and beat the crap out of him finally. I was glad
to
see
that.
Oh, I was excited, dude. I was like, fine. All right. So I see what they're going with this. Okay. I kind of dig it. Where's CM Punk? Did I miss him?
He had the night off along with Sheamus for whatever reason. So,
well, Sheamus is overseas though. That's what he's doing. But so, anyways, R-Truth decides that he's gonna survive the gauntlet match, and then the Miz comes in and gets a double DQ, and then Miz is just like, "Yep, it's just me now." And then, of course, our Raw GM decides to pipe in and say, "It's gonna be a triple threat match." Oh, geez, I did not see this come from a mile away.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's cool to have R-Truth in there, but I think that John Morrison was supposed to be in there. And because he ticked off management with everything that he's been doing, they decided to put R-Truth in there instead as a know-nothing champion, or know-nothing contender, really, because let's face it, R-Truth is not going to have a shot. He's not going to have a shot at winning the title.
No way.
Unfortunately, because he's a former NWA champion.
Yes, he is.
When he was at TNA, he was former NWA champion, and he also held the tag title and a few other titles there, too.
So. Where did he go? He was, like, gone for no reason, then all of a sudden he's back?
He was gone in the WWE. I don't know. He's probably wrestling superstars, you know?
No, he wasn't, because I actually do pay attention to superstars now, because you never know, because Curt Hawkins wrestles on Superstars, so I got to watch what he's doing.
I'm sorry, you watch Superstars, the show that's no longer on air?
Yeah, but it's all... Yeah. As of now. So we got one thing that's really sad, and we don't want to talk about it yet, but we're going to have to. Edge is forced to retire. Mr. Adam Copeland he can't wrestle anymore. And, you know, we did say at one point that he was going to have to retire, that he was going to retire, and he wanted to retire, you know, on his own terms, but it just stinks that he couldn't. So.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to talk about that for a weekly topic since it's such a big deal. But mm-hmm. SmackDown itself, though, really not a whole lot happened. So we're going to just cover the big story here, which was obvious.
Lots of recaps from Raw. And also it looks like they, you know, of course, Edge came out and he gave his final speech, of course, and left the title in the ring, which is actually whenever a wrestler does that, I just think, you know, especially it's just sad. They put it down and in the ring. It's just like, I don't want to go touch that title, you know, because it's his last thing. But anyway, so they had a 20-man battle royale defined as the number one contender, which I hate, by the way. They need to have something where, I don't know, like you can have the battle royale, but have like the last eight get into some type of bracket system, like King of the Ring. And then they, you know, have match, you know, they can have all the matches that night if you really wanted to. But that's just me. But Christian won. Edge came out and congratulated him. So it's going to be Christian versus Del Rio in a ladder match at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I'm digging this. I think it's the smart thing to do. I think that you have Christian win. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, yeah, you could have a Del Rio win. But look, let's face it. Christian is a proven champion. He was the ECW champion. He's an NWA heavyweight mm-hmm. champion over at TNA. Yep. So it's not like he can't carry a brand, mm-hmm. and you have him win the title, and you know what? Take it off him a couple months later. Have Del Rio win it off him, but Del Rio is not ready yet to be a champion.
Well, Christian can do it. That's the thing, and I think Christian I have a complete master thing with Edge and all this stuff, but I think Christian was already going to be was grooming to be the champion eventually, and it just thinks that you're going to have to because you had to have him win now. He has to win Extreme Rules. There's no way around it. Edge or Christian has to win. And then Edge is going to come out and embrace him and say, thank you, blah, 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 and that's it. Then Edge is going to go back to Nashville and hang out there. So, mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about it, you can always get a blog over at HostGator. Are you a blogger, podcaster, not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs with free site builder and easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. TNA, Matt Hardy defeats Kaz in what could be a spectacular four-star match. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I said last year Kaz was my underrated wrestler of the year. And Matt Hardy, you know what? He may be my next one. Matt Hardy, I think, has done a phenomenal job in TNA so far. And having these two in a match, actually, it's kind of almost dumb for TNA because these two could have had a great match on the pay-per-view. And I think that Matt Hardy, while you are pushing him a little bit further for the title, you know, I mean, not yet, but they are kind of grooming him to move up the ladder. Have Matt Hardy go for the X title. Honestly, have him go for that X title. He would be perfect in that division. And have a mm-hmm. four-way match, him and Kaz, throw two other people in there, like maybe Amazing Red or, you know, throw Christopher Daniels back in there. Well, I guess you can't now, but, you know, you could have when he was a heel or whatnot. But that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. So, but I was still happy with this. I'm sure you probably were happy to see your boy in a good match.
Matt Hardy, he looks so much better, by the way. I'm so happy to see him this way. I mean, he's not – when he first came to TNA, he was – out of shape is the best way to put it. And now that he looks good, it's great to see him come in there, kick butt in the ring. And, you know, I'm happy for him. I really am. I'm glad to see. And he's wearing a light schedule. If he wants to take any dates now, he can, which is great. But Double J, the Pope, and Hernandez defeated Angle, Samoa Joe, and Morgan just to continue their feuds. Why is Samoa Joe in a tag match? Why?
So here's the thing. I understand, you know, when you have the tag team, you know, like the you have a single, two singles feuds going on, so you put them in a tag team match. But Angle and like Morgan, why are they teaming together? You know, like there's no point in putting. If Matt Hardy is having a feud with RVD and Jeff Hardy is having a feud with Ken Anderson, putting them together makes sense because they're brothers. You know, that makes sense. And then RVD and Anderson together, putting them together because obviously they have friction between each other. Perfect. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It was a thrown together three-way match, really dumb in my opinion. And it's unfortunate because the majority of the show really focused on Immortal versus Fortune and really everyone else.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I really didn't care for about the show.
Dude, I can't stand their cutscenes too, by the way. I don't like the fact. I mean, they're basically supposed to have it so like a guy with a hidden camera is getting some of the stuff like the, I don't know, the just some of the thing behind the scenes stuff that they're not supposed to see. Just go to the regular camera work. Don't do the fancy stuff with it. Just, you know, make it a simple show. And yeah, I think the production of the show needs to be changed. And I think if they do that and also do, you know, all the changes, if you slowly do it over like a month's time, it'll work. But I think if you just all of a sudden come out and say, here are the changes, like WCW did, you have problems right away. So you can work out.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. So. The last bit of the stuff about TNA, though, is that Sting and RVD, they continued their feud to, you know, build towards the pay-per-view. Are you excited for the pay-per-view?
Could care less.
heard it here first.
Could care less. You know, well, the good part is I found out that we can actually take the pay-per-views and use it as a tax write-off, so I'm excited now. So let's move on to our weekly topic, and we're going to talk about pay-per-views and the cost of them. Just kidding. We're talking about Edge. Edge retiring. I wasn't watching, I'll tell you the truth, I was DVRing Raw, I was watching something completely different from wrestling, and I'm sitting there talking to my wife and all that fun stuff, and you said, hey, are you watching Raw? I'm like, no, why? He's like, you need to watch Raw. That's what you called and told me, and I was like, all right, well, what the heck's going on here? So I finally got to the segment, Edge came out there, and when he said I had to retire, you could just tell that there's no one could act that well. There's no wrestler out there that could act as well as he did. You just knew it was true, and it was really sad that, you know, he came out. He mentioned Hulk Hogan, you know, because he was a huge fan. He said he talked about WrestleMania 6 being in the front row, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sad when something is taken away from you like that, especially that it's still there, and you know you can do it in your heart. It's there, but then when the WWE says we cannot clear you to wrestle, it's really sad. It's really sad. It's taken away from him, and I feel bad for the guy. And hopefully Adam, you know, they said that he already bought a retirement house in Nashville, Tennessee. He was planning on retiring. So I am glad to see that, you know, he was there. It's just sad that he probably was going to go another 6 months and then call it a career, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the big things for me is that, you know, Edge came out and he was like, you know, I have to retire. You know, they said, look, go out and do whatever you need to do. And at first, I was sitting there thinking, like, this is a stupid angle. Like, why are they doing this? But, you know, I started reading so much about him online, and there were people saying that if he took a bad bump and something simple like a suplex, he could sever his vertebrae, and he would be paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah,
just something small, and that could still happen. There's a very the Hulk Hogan. Or I shouldn't say Hulk, more like Bret Hart of wrestling over in Japan, Misawa. I don't want to mispronounce his first name, you know, because it'll just be butchering it. But Misawa, he took a belly to back suplex.
Oh, that's right.
One of the simplest moves in wrestling, one of the simplest. And the way that he landed, something happened to him, and he died in the ring by doing that. And I don't know what their policies are over there, but at least the WWE, say what you will about how bad they are to some of their wrestlers, making them get cleared to wrestle after really bad injuries that Edge had. You know, Edge could have died in the ring by if he wasn't clear. He could have had Masawa's fate.
He could have gone on that ladder match, gone up there, and taking some weird bump, land wrong, and die in the ring.
Yeah.
And then what then? Then his family has nothing. I mean, life insurance policies, I guarantee you, for wrestlers are not very good, and especially if he's already had his vertebrae fused once. So I was also thinking in a large thing is Helms had his done, I think, in 05 or 06. He only has like 3 years left then. You know, it's, you know, Edge said he was on borrowed time, and I've heard that term a couple times. Wrestlers have said that. But realistically, how many other guys have had that surgery done? I mean, look, Lita had that surgery done too, and she, thankfully for her, she got out. Gosh, there are so many guys that had that surgery done. I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of them all, but there's been quite a few. So what next? And the other thing also that I will say about them not letting him clear, I was talking to one of our friends about this. And I was like, you know, and I was just talking about it. I was like, it just all of a sudden happened. When the WWE started doing harder drug testing and also testing for performance-enhancing drugs, did you notice that you haven't seen more, like there was quite a few where there's a lot of deaths of wrestlers who had like enlarged hearts or enlarged organs? We haven't seen anyone die that had that problem lately. Didn't you find that kind of like actually good news?
It is. And that's one of the nice things about it is that we don't have to worry about that nearly as much anymore. And Edge, by, you know, yeah, he was strong, you know, like he obviously hit the gym, but he was not like Cena size. You know, like Cena, look, he probably at one point in time did steroids, probably. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he did it for a long period of time, who knows? But look, he did something to help enhance his body. Batista was the same way. There are people that went on record saying that mm-hmm. he did that. Edge was just kind of normal looking, you know, so like Jericho, same thing, you know, mm-hmm. pretty normal looking Christian, same way, you know, but they have some muscles on him. That's good. Edge will then have a longer life because of this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he can come back in some capacity. He's great on the mic, so you can have him come in and be the general manager.
You know what the thing that would be awesome? If he comes in and says, I'm the Anonymous Raw general manager.
Although it would make no sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. That's right, because he came out a couple times and beat up the laptop, right?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And, you know, and like I like the fact that they let Edge just talk. Like they're like, here's the stick, go out there and talk. And they let him speak what he wanted to. And I, you know, on SmackDown, yes, it was more scripted because he had time to think it all through. But I thought it was awesome he mentioned the Brood, you know, and he also talked about how Edge has been his friend this entire time, which is true. Him and Christian, or I'm sorry, that Christian's been his friend the entire time. But Edge and Christian have been really good friends, you know, outside the ring, which is really cool because a lot of wrestlers are all backstab. There's a lot of backstabbers in the business. But there's also, you start seeing more and more, there's like, they have one or two friends that are like, hey, really good friends. So I'm glad to see that. And also the fact that once that happened, Twitter went nuts about it. And, you know, honestly, dude, I was a little choked up about it because it's like, you know, they're basically saying you can't do what you love to do anymore.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey.
That's not to say that he won't be involved, though. He just cannot wrestle in the ring.
Can't take any bumps.
And he can't take bumps.
But it'll be nice for him because he can fly in, you know, a day beforehand and then leave the following night or that, you know, leave that night or the following day. He'll only be on the road for a couple days and he'll be able to fly back home, which he'll be home more, which is really nice. And he can become a father, which is, you know, a good father to his kids. And I think that's what a lot of wrestlers, look at Mick Foley when he retired. Each time he just loved picking up his kids and or mowing lawns for charity. So. But
yeah, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of really good things. You know, Hogan said a few things, which were,
yeah.
We talked about it, and more than likely he said it to get some press because yep. he said, well, you know, a lot of people will just wrestle through that stuff. And, you know, I don't believe that he's gone from the ring, brother, you know, like that type of crap. But then he's like, oh, I wasn't saying anything bad about him. I think Edge is a great talent, you know, but I don't think that he's gone, you know. By the way, I just wanted to get some press, you know, on all the wrestling dirt sheets. I want mm-hmm. everybody to talk about Hulk Hogan.
And only there was a couple of things mentioned and then no one cared.
Yeah.
But like I look at it from Taz. Taz he was a good talker. He was good on the stick, but like then he went to announcing and he tore it up. He's an excellent announcer now. And I wouldn't be surprised if Edge ends up doing that, but who do you take away off the announcing team? Cuz I don't want Jonathan Matthews to go away. You know, maybe he'll be the next JR. He could, but I think he's also too big, if that makes sense. Most announcers are small guys, and Edge is a pretty tall guy. I don't know.
Well, no, he's actually not. No, I guess, I mean, he's 6'5", so I guess, yeah, you know.
He's tall.
Although, you know, I shouldn't say he is 6'5", he's billed as 6'5".
I think he's 6'3".
Yeah, he's probably 6'2". Like 6'3".
He's not really that tall, because I think the one time that I was close enough to him, I wasn't looking eye to eye, but I was pretty close to eye and eye, and I'm 6'1", so yeah, so he's probably more like 6'2". Like, the Big Show, I think, was always billed as like 7'2" or 7'3", and he's really 7 foot.
So. No, they billed him as like 7'5".
Oh, really? Well, he's actually
very tall.
Oh, he's really 7, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, and I know we're kind of like not going in order with the whole Edge thing, but realistically, I'm just really, it's sad that he had to call it a career. And this was a shocker to a lot of people, because not many people knew about it. There were, you know, and he had to fly down to Atlanta to find out this bad news and fly to Raw, and you know, sitting on the plane the entire time, I wouldn't know what to do, especially if he's on a commercial line. If you see him, you're like, hey, how's it going? You know, he's probably going to say, oh, yeah, it's going good, when he's really thinking, I'm screwed. I can't wrestle anymore. I have to retire. But I just hope that he stays with the WWE in some capacity. And, you know, I wish the best for him.
He will. He will. So, yeah, and, I, you know, the last thing I'd say is that, you know, I'm going to miss Edge. I think that he was a great wrestler. But it's better to go out this way. It's mm-hmm. better to go out on your feet than on a stretcher, or go out by dying, you know, in some mm-hmm. way, shape, or form.
And the nice part is he'll be around. It's just, you know. You know, and it's just sad that he can get in the ring, but he can't do what he loved to do in the ring. So I wish him the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing what is the next chapter in his life is going to be. So, anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow Straw at AuthorMark86. I am AHughes86. He is AP Hughes. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week, and our listeners for taking the time to download the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the next one.